What is it about March that is driving so much cloud news? I'm going to make a confession. I almost skipped this week's episode because of the pure saturation of cloud news and the fact that this would be the third week that I am covering cloud as a major story topic. But you work with what you got. Cloud is dominating the news. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Amazon and their big outage. Last week, we talked about Google and Oracle. And this week, we're going to talk about all five cloud providers in relation to each other, and I guess talk about their ultimate race to the bottom. So I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast Episode 63, The Race to the Bottom. Before we get to our main story, let's discuss the complete lack of acquisitions that took place over the last 7 days. I have exactly one acquisition to discuss this week, and that is Intel buying Mobileye for $15.3 billion. What is this $15 billion company? Mobileye today covers a range of technology and services, including sensor fusion, mapping, front and rear facing camera technology, and they were starting to in 2018 provide crowdsourcing data for high definition maps. Intel is bringing this company under their umbrella, not only for its wide range of assets, but because they are focused on autonomous driving technology. And they also want to expand their relationship with current automobile makers. Thanks to this acquisition, Intel is moving their automotive unit to Israel. And since I have absolutely no other acquisitions to discuss, let's talk about rumors. There's a rumor that Microsoft might be buying Citrix. You see, Citrix, very quietly, as in so quietly that almost every press unit picked up the story, let news out that they may be interested in being purchased. And every stock speculator with a blog surmised that maybe Microsoft would buy Citrix. The stated reason is that Microsoft and Citrix have worked closely for years on remote desktop services, and the pair has recently been working on delivering Windows 10 desktop on Azure. It should also be noted that there have been many investors that have been advocating for Microsoft to purchase Citrix for nearly a decade. I suppose it does make sense that Microsoft, who is transitioning to a cloud-based company with their Azure platform, and also as a company who has the most popular desktop operating system on the planet, would want to make that very popular desktop operating system available on their cloud platform. And Citrix is a phenomenal way to make that happen. And Microsoft does have the cash, but do they want to invest it in Citrix? Time will tell. On to our main story, the cloud, for the third week in a row. What stone have I left unturned this month? It's all about the competition. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Amazon. We specifically talked about Amazon Web Services' massive service outage in their storage space. There is a point that I failed to make in that episode 2 weeks ago. In that episode, we discussed that Amazon is the most popular cloud provider. They are maintaining their 40% market share of cloud services, even though the cloud market is growing at least 20% every year. The reason why I'm reiterating this point is because does that popularity work against them at a certain point? Because they are so enormous, does that make them a target for hackers and for attacks? And as you're pondering that, the obvious answer is yes. They're the biggest target. So of course, some hacker that wants to make a reputation or some country that wants to make a point is going to go after them. And as they try to make their point, they take your business down with them. So now we are faced with a somewhat philosophical question. The cloud provider that may be doing the best business, that may have the most competitive rates, do you want to do business with them because that puts a target on your back? And if you don't want to do business with them because of that very reason, what's your strategy? You don't want to go with the smallest because they may decide not to stay in it. In the subsequent weeks of the Amazon outage, there have been many articles that pointed to this specific reason as the beginning of the downfall for AWS. But it has emboldened IBM, Google, and Oracle. A little too emboldened with Oracle. To start taking shots at Amazon. They're using this outage to make customers consider them. We talked about Google last week and how they had previously struggled to gain enterprise customers, but over the last few months, they have been doing a very good job of attracting large companies like Verizon, Apple, and SAP. As there were articles that pointed out Amazon's issues, there are just as many articles that point out that the other cloud suppliers may not scale to be competitive, specifically Oracle. Oracle has been experiencing some very good stock performance and some very good press thanks to their acquisition of NetSuite. So Ellison's happy, they're reaching revenue numbers of $1 billion, but can an Oracle take on Amazon today? No. There has been criticism levied against Oracle because their growth in cloud has been through acquisition, so they are not holistic systems. They are a hodgepodge of acquisitions that are not fully homogenized yet, and they're not fully integrated into the quote-unquote Oracle data center. Enter IBM. This week is IBM's Interconnect conference, and they have been talking a lot about cloud. IBM is an interesting use case. Several weeks ago, on one of the podcasts, I discussed IBM's struggle in the cloud space. IBM, as an infrastructure as a service provider, hasn't been doing well. They purchased SoftLayer, they dumped billions of dollars into that company and into that infrastructure, and it really hasn't resonated with customers as an infrastructure as a service provider. This week at Interconnect, one of the announcements that IBM made is that they are going to be cost competitive with Amazon and Azure on pure cloud storage. IBM doesn't talk a lot of trash in the press, but this is sort of the IBM equivalent of like a Southern gentleman taking the glove off and slapping the guy in the face and saying, "I challenge you to a duel, sir." I say. For a company that hasn't been doing well as an infrastructure as a service provider, reducing your cost is a smart move. IBM typically doesn't like to do that cost reduction. They like to say that the services and subject matter expertise that they bring with their platforms and software compensate for the higher costs. But Amazon is driving the cost down. Oracle is following suit. Microsoft is following suit. If IBM wants to be competitive in the cloud, they have to do the same. I've said this before in previous podcasts, but storage infrastructure in the cloud is a MacGuffin. It's a distraction. The big five want to say, "I have the cheapest cloud storage or infrastructure than any of the other providers." Congratulations. Look at the acquisitions that are taking place in the background. Amazon, they're realizing that in addition to pure infrastructure, they have to offer their customers software. They need to be enticed. So that's why you see Amazon going out and trying to build a productivity suite like Microsoft and like Google. That's why you see them trying to go out and build a video conferencing suite. That's why you see Google trying to get competitive with Slack and Microsoft and change their chat platform to emulate what Slack is doing. And that's why you see Microsoft doing the same thing. My boss likes to use the term stickiness. That's what they're trying to do. It's not just a matter of, "Look, I have the cheapest CPU and I have the cheapest storage." It's, "Oh, well, now you're on my email service. And my customers are used to using this instant messaging client, and they really like this video chat that we're using, and it would be really hard to switch." That is where they gotcha. The picture is becoming clear. The office worker of the future, and I don't mean the distant future, I mean in the next few years, they will be using more cloud-based applications, more software as a service. The companies that are moving their data centers to cloud-based solutions, that's really phase one. They're the pioneers. Eventually, as you migrate or as you start a new company, the idea of building and maintaining those back-end office applications will be rendered irrelevant. They will just be part of the hosting package, which then will also make those services commoditized and thus subsequently easier to switch, which will spark a whole new migration cycle. But as the cloud companies add these services, as they try to get sticky with their customers, that sounded disgusting, it's still a race to the bottom. You've effectively commoditized infrastructure as a service. That aspect of cloud hosting, which is the most approachable to a customer right now, that's the easiest concept to grasp, it's making it harder for the cloud companies to derive profits. So they truly are in a race to the bottom because they are spending money to acquire companies and develop tools while they're still bringing their services and costs down for the customers. Great for the consumer. Thank you, competition. But will it hamper the second cloud revolution, which is the applications? So once you get everybody out into your cloud infrastructure, the aggravation of developing true business applications, the things that actually make you money or drive your business, that's where things get complicated. True application development within your company, if you're in a bank or an insurance company, the apps that they build to run their businesses and interface with their customers, they're always kind of a mess. There isn't those clean interfaces that you see in the movies or in the consumer apps that you use. A lot of them are even still terminal driven and command line focused. And that is the sweet spot for cloud companies in the future. So while we may think that an IBM is completely out of the game, when you overlay a veneer of artificial intelligence, analytics, quantum computing, now you're in a situation where the development cycle for custom software may be reduced or simplified, which makes it easier to remain current and upgrade and enhance that software. Now you have a situation where companies truly want to go out into the cloud and they want to utilize these services because they make their product and their core business better. And we're not there yet. We can watch all the news clips that we want about blockchain and Watson and Einstein and other artificial intelligence. But at the end of the day, those technologies are not transforming core businesses today. They're still expensive, they're still buggy, and there's still a lot of marketing wrapped around what those things truly do. But I believe that those technologies will ultimately change the world, they will change business, and they will be driven on a cloud solution. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.